So at this time in the liturgy, we take time for a sermon, and I'm not going to give a sermon today, but I'm going to tell you about sermons. I will say, though, that the gospel reading is such a powerful and important text, especially around issues of marriage, that I wrote up about 1,500 words or so on the text, and it's on our website. So you can go to the website. It's right there under the news and notes section and click on that. If you get our weekly email, then you probably saw that. And if you like our Facebook page, you probably saw that in the feed. But nevertheless, check that out because it's really powerful and important stuff. But during the sermon time, the preacher, ideally in my mind, will take one of the assigned texts and dig very deep, to do the exegesis, to really look at the words, to look at the language, to look at the theology, to look at it in historical context and literary context, to really get his or her mind around what the text meant. When the first readers of this text read it or more than likely heard it, what was it that they heard? And then at that point, once the preacher has done that kind of work, then the process of prayer begins. Lord, how do you want to take this text and have it become your word to this congregation? How is it that you want to speak through this text to these people that are going to be gathered at this time and in this place? And so this is not an easy job, and it takes time. And if you look over the ordination vows that the priests take, studying scripture is really foundational. So please encourage your priests to spend time studying scripture. Please pray for us that we would spend a lot of diligent, focused time preparing sermons, because again, we're digging deeply into the scriptures, really seeking to hear God and how God might want to speak through the scriptures to the gathered congregation. And of course, we always, on a given Sunday, want to preach the gospel. And we believe theologically that every text in scripture can point in some way or another to the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so giving an academic lecture on Genesis 2, for example, would be a great thing for adult education, but it wouldn't be appropriate for the sermon. Because what we want to do is hear Genesis 2 in such a way that it illuminates somehow the gospel message of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, so that we might be transformed, welcomed deeper into a life with God. So that's the goal of the sermon. And please pray for us as we prepare sermons. Please understand that that's a really significant part of our job as priests, to dig deeply into the Word of God and make an offering to the congregation each week. Next in the liturgy is the Nicene Creed. You notice that we'll introduce the creed very often by saying things like, we'll affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, or what is it that we believe, and so forth. So the Nicene Creed is not an exhaustive compendium of every single thing that Christians believe, but the words of the Nicene Creed were developed out of the early controversies about the nature of God. And what the church has confessed for the last 1,700 years is that the words of the Nicene Creed accurately describe the nature of our triune God. And so when we say these words, we're affirming the reality of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. We're affirming the historical reality of the incarnation. We're also affirming the historical reality of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. We're affirming the hope that we have of forgiveness of sins in the gospel. We're expressing the hope that we have of eternal life beyond death. And so these are the things that Christians have decided are essential to our faith. And so each week we affirm them as things that are true. But what we also do when we affirm the Nicene Creed, notice the first person plural pronoun, we believe. And so we're confessing our faith together with our brothers and sisters here, but also with our brothers and sisters throughout time and space. Again, for the last 1700 years, Christians have been saying these words together. And so we're casting our lot in with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout time and throughout space. Sometimes when you pause and think that Christians in Uganda and Singapore and Russia and South Africa and England and Guatemala are all confessing these words together on a given Sunday, it's very powerful, and it gives us a sense of the depth and the breadth of God's church. So let's stand together and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.